In Exodus chapter 8, we're going back to our series. We would not be as long in this as we were in the book of Genesis. As you can see, I have advanced down to Exodus chapter 8, and we read in verse 29 these words. And Moses said, "Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." This evening I'm speaking about confrontation. Confrontation. This chapter has at least two confrontations with Moses and Pharaoh in regards to the Lord's command. Moses' officers and his people had turned on him, and also Aaron. They were faulting Moses for the plight they were in. It's quite unfortunate. Although God stated way back what would happen, the people began to fault Moses. And this is the problem that we face also as ministers of the gospel, when our own people turn against us for seeking to be faithful. We read in Exodus 5, 19 through 22, these words, "And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case, after it was said, 'You shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task.' And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, 'The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us.' And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, 'Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all.'" Here we see the love of a servant of God. Moses did not retaliate against the venom of the people. He prayed. And this is the lesson that you and I should learn. Up until this point, Moses had done all that God had commissioned him to do. But here in our text in Exodus 8, 20 through 32, the fourth plague came upon the land, a swarm of flies. Pharaoh seemed to be easing his grip, but not for long. After Moses prayed on his behalf and the flies were removed, Pharaoh hardened his heart. At this time also, neither would he let the people go, Exodus 8, 32. Now, confrontation is not a bad thing. You and I can confront compromise, but we should not be confrontational as Christians or hostile as believers. The world and the people of the world will always be at conflict with what Christians believe, as I was sharing this morning. Here you see a sequel of the same thing. The Lord said in Luke 17 to his disciples, "It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanging about his neck, and he cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Conflict cannot be avoided in the home, in the world, at the workplace, because there are two positions in this life, only two. But woe to the one who causes conflict. Men have a way of twisting and perverting the word of God. And some today do not find it difficult in compromising the word of God. Now, in this historical message, Moses stood his ground. You see this. And the first of three considerations is that we would go back to the command to Moses and Aaron. It was first given in Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. So let's read it. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." There was no equivocation or any shortcut in this imperative that we have just read. Moses and Aaron made that imperative clear in verse 3 of Exodus 5. He said, "The God of the Hebrews have met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Now, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Moses, Aaron, and the God of the Hebrews are here considered. But here in Exodus 8, our study chapter, verse 27, the imperative is repeated, this time by the man of God, Moses. Remember, we are considering chapter 8. And in verse 27, we read, "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us." If you look at this text carefully, you would see that Moses is following the Lord by faith. He did not know where he was going to serve the Lord, but he said, "We will go and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us." He was going in faith, awaiting God's command for them to worship. You know, at times in our lives, you and I may be in a place where leaving that place is uncertain. And I don't know if that has ever happened to you. There's uncertainty about leaving that place. But it is better to obey God than man. At times we may have to leave a job, or we may have to leave a place, or we may have to leave a relationship. And we shouldn't leave saying, what I have is certain and I'm not leaving certain for uncertain. If it is a sinful position that you are in, if it is an act of disobedience, you should follow Moses. Moses says, I am going, I don't know where. The Lord will tell me when I get to that place. And sometimes you have to take that route as a believer. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. So there's an immediate application here if you are a believer. And we're talking this evening about compromise and confrontation. Two, both of them. Moses is following the Lord by faith. It's just like Abraham was called to go out to a place that he would later receive as an inheritance. And the Bible says, you went. That's what faith is. Now, I'm not saying, Brother Eddie, to drop everything you got and go into Nigeria and ain't got jack. I'm not saying that. But when God calls us out of a situation that is sinful, we better move, and we better move fast. I hope you understand what I am saying. Don't linger. The Bible says that Lot's wife lingered, and as she lingered, she didn't have a chance. So be careful. Well, this is just an immediate application to the text, Moses said. We will go and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And God never owes us anything. And at times, this may happen to you. We all know that Moses is not only a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a picture of the law of God. We all know this. Moses disobeying the law of God that he represents would have set a wrong precedence. He's a picture of the law. And Moses himself is bound to the law he represents. And the man of God, the preacher, is bound to the law that he preaches. He stands by the word he preaches, even though it will cost him. Take up thy cross, the Savior says. A lot of men are not willing to stand by what they preach. We have them here in our church. They're not willing to stand on what they preach. And it is sad, very sad today. And sometimes it may hurt you. But we have to be careful. We're considering this man Moses. I hope you're working your way with me through the scriptures. That what I say don't contradict what the scripture is saying. Not only Moses was a picture of the law, but he's a picture of any true man of God that we ought to look at. But let us not forget, in a practical sense, Moses is a picture of a true believer. So he represents many facets of scripture. As true believers, we are called to stand on the word of God, like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We will falter at times. We will not be perfect in our application, but by and large, we will stand on the word of God. You understand me, Louise? 1 John 2:3-4 says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now let me explain this very quickly. This text, I don't want us to think that the keeping of God's commandments is a criterion for one being a Christian. This is not what this is saying, children. This is not what John is saying. He's saying that we know the Lord because of our desire, our constant desire to obey him. No Christian has a perfect performance, but the one thing Christians have in common is the will that God has given them to obey, the willingness. Like Paul says, I desire to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night. So whenever faced with temptation or sin, guess what ought to come to mind? The word of God. And that's how you and I would know where we stand. Now let me say this. The less you know of the word of God, the more gullible you would be and the more apt you would be to compromise. It is a reflection of your lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I just had to get that out of the way. So we have looked at the command in brief, and it was very, very concise. Let my people go 3 days' journey in the wilderness that they may serve God. Second, we see the concessions of Pharaoh. The concessions. And you know what's a concession. And there were 2 concessions offered to Moses in light of the imperative that was given. One is in verse 25. Verse 25 says, and Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Notice what Pharaoh called the God of heaven, your God. It's really an affront. Pharaoh is actually saying, look, I am God. You can go and sacrifice to your God, but I am God. As a matter of fact, Pharaoh is considered a deity in Egypt. And that's why God brought judgment on him, Martin, because he saw himself as the God. And that's why he was able to say, oh, who is the Lord? I don't know the Lord. And by the way, people may not say this with their mouths, but people say this with their life. Who is God? I don't know him. And every unconverted person is saying this. Who's the Lord? I don't know him. Neither am I going to let the people go. It's a terrible thing to be in this state, brethren. But many would have accepted this offer. Go and sacrifice to your God in the land. The only problem is God did not say this to Moses. He was to travel 3 days in the wilderness, not in the land. Second, the animals that the Hebrews were sacrificing were considered to be sacred gods in Egypt. The same animals. Moses was well groomed in Egyptian culture. And he knew what was at stake for him to sacrifice these animals. You know, in some countries, you can't kill a cow. I'm not calling any countries. They're sacred. You can't kill a cow. The Hebrews would have been stoned to death for observing any other god but the Egyptian deities, especially Pharaoh. And this may have been what Pharaoh was hoping for Moses to sacrifice in the land, that he would be stoned to death along with his people. This is what Pharaoh desired. And sometimes, by the way, this may be what the world desires for some Christians. They may not wish Christians well at all. I just can hear them. That's how bad it is. Today, many so-called Christians buy into the proposition that they can incorporate worldly methods with Christian worship. The music they have, the discotheque atmosphere in their sanctuary, the quick fix conversions are all smack of the philosophy of the world. There are many concessions being offered to us today. Many concessions. Take, for instance, the worship on Sunday. there are many concessions offered by the devil. Oh, you have to finish that paper. Come on, you're pursuing your whatever, your master's or your doctorate. You have to, God will understand. You're pursuing a higher education. That's a concession. Are you willing to listen to God? I don't know. Maybe you should pray. Be a believer, but remain where you are. You can be a believer, but the two of us still can live together until we get married. Wonderfully, the man of God, Moses, responded in verse 26 of Exodus chapter 8. And Moses said, "It is not meet so to do." Today's language would be something like this: no way. To put it in modern language, Moses responded to Pharaoh, "No way. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us?" He knew. He knew Egyptian culture. He knew Egyptian deities. And by the way, Christians should always be informative. If you're going on the mission field, you should be informed about the likes and the dislikes of a country. You do not want to go on a foreign mission field and be an offense. Wherever I go, wherever I sit, or they ask me to sit, I sit. Even if it's on the floor in a hut, I sit on the floor in the hut. Whatever they bring before me, they bring before me, we give thanks, and we eat. You don't want to be an offense to the people you're ministering to. And that's why you find some people go into cross-cultural missions and they are not effective. And it's a good lesson to learn. Moses, no razzle-dazzle, just clear on it. Equivocal in his answer, "It is not meet so to do." The New King James said it better. And Moses said, "It is not right to do so." Case closed. There is a difference between right and wrong. And that difference is determined by God, not the culture, by God. There's also another concession in verse 28. "And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness." He's gone a little further. "Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Don't go very far away, because I need you to pray for me. Not a concession. This time Pharaoh is more general. He left out the clause, 3 days' journey, and said, "I will let you go." Now listen, this is the devil. How he cuts off part of the word of God. He also adds a condition to Moses' departure. "Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." That's the condition. There's no condition to God's commands. I'm sorry. There's no condition. Watch out for the only. Saul said, "Yes, I did what you said, Samuel. Only Agag, the king, I spare." He lost the kingdom. Remember one time the youth group, Jackie, the Simatias, AYPA, we were going somewhere. I don't remember which island it was, but we were going in a group. I think it was Trinidad. And when we get to Piarco Airport, it was a group of us, like 20 of us. The immigration officer asked us, he was asking us one by one, "Do you have anything to declare?" Everybody would say, "No, I'm clean." This smart Alex says, No, I don't have anything to declare. Only, immigration says stop. That's what I want to hear, only. Poor guy had us hanging up there at the airport for over an hour because they don't say only. That's a condition. The guy, immigration had him stake out there, Brother Colin. Listen. You know, he stammers a little, Presley. He says, only. The group was hanged for a long period. But what I'm trying to say, there's no only, brother. The word only is a very dangerous word in the Christian's vocabulary. It's a suspicious word. Pharaoh's concessions or concession to Moses was only, you shall not go very far away. Now this has become a way of life for many professing Christians. Only you shall not go very far away. And a good many people have this philosophy. I will break off that relationship, but I will still visit once a week. What's that? What's that? No. It's either you breaking off or you're staying. Forget the once a week. Break off that relationship. An alcoholic should never rent an apartment next to a liquor store. If you have a problem with alcohol, you don't rent an apartment next to a liquor store. Only don't go very far away. Pharaoh's concession was only, you shall not go very far away. You remember in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we read of a king named Solomon, the third king of Israel. We're told that Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall all around Jerusalem. Solomon, this was Solomon's downfall. He fell in love with strange women. That's the only problem he had. But unfortunately, in 2 Kings, in that same text, we read, only the people sacrifice in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. Solomon did that, brought in this Egyptian woman, didn't finish his work. And later we find that the people begin sacrificing in high places. The word only is a dangerous word. The world will never tell you not to believe on the Lord Jesus or not to go to your church. What they will tell us is that you don't have to be committed. Too committed. Come on, you need to cut some slack. This is what you may be hearing. Just throw an occasional bone now and then, and the Lord will be pleased. We need to think about these things. We are not called to make concessions. We are called to be compassionate, but when it comes to concessions with the world and the devil and the flesh, we don't do it. The Bible says, Ephraim is a cake not turned. Preached from that long time ago. Evidently, the cake was burned on the outside, but it never turned on the inside. It was burnt to a crisp. You ever see a cake like that? It's the Elmira. Baked on the outside, pretty. But when you open it up, not turned. I've seen many cakes like that, but they end up in the trash can. You don't want to be a kid that is not turned. You want to be on the inside what you are, or you ought to be on the outside what you are on the inside as a Christian. There's an interesting lesson in 2 Chronicles 25 about a famous king named Amaziah. I always worry about him. The Bible says he did right, but not with a perfect heart. God opened the context further by showing what he meant. King Amaziah was the king of Judah, the small remnant that stayed with David. The 10 tribes who were called Israel, we've gone over this several times, had turned away from God. They were apostate. Often you remember this. You know, you know this for a fact. Good. So at least you covered. Yet Amaziah hired men to fight with him in battle from Israel, the apostate tribe, Ephraim. God sent a prophet to him, as he normally does when kings disobey. And in 2 Chronicles 25, 7 through 9, you can read the whole thing. I don't have the time. We read 2 Chronicles 25, 7 through 9. But a man of God came to him saying, "O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim." Ephraim and Israel is the same thing. "But if you go, be gone. Be strong in battle. Even so, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help and to overthrow." Then Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall I do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel?" And the man of God answered, "God is able to give you more than this." Amaziah said, "But what about the money that I paid to hire them?" That's where his focus was. The money. Compromise. The man of God rightly answered, "God is able to give you more than this." Now, spiritual concessions to the God of this world will make our testimony void, neutral. As a matter of fact, if you speak, I wouldn't listen to you. I would have a hard time listening to any one of you who are constantly making concessions with the world. I wouldn't listen. I wouldn't hear. Your actions are so loud, I can't hear your words. There is no telling what many are doing when no one is watching. I don't have a magnifying glass, or I don't have ESP. But there's an all-seeing eye, and an all-hearing ear. Yeah, I said it. There's no telling what some of you are doing. When there's no eye watching, there's no telling. Come on. Come on, I beg you. Stop it. There's too much at stake. Our church is dying. And it might well be a reason why it is dying. What concessions do you make in your life as a professing Christian? Whatever there are, remember what the word of God says. And the man of God answered, "God is able to give you more than this." Whatever they are, God is able to give you more than that. "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." The Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It tells me that you can gain practically anything in this world. But is it worth it? The Lord says no. If we are ashamed to state our claim with Christ in this life, he will be ashamed to claim us as his sons and daughters when he comes to judge the world. And this is what Jesus is saying. So these are two headings we have considered, brethren. Command to Moses and Aaron, the man of God, Moses. 3 days journey into the wilderness. Two, the concessions made by Pharaoh. Don't go too far. Stick around. Pray for me. Let us return to the material before us with our last heading, the conviction of the man of God. The conviction of the man of God. Verse 27. Here's the conviction. We will go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. We go back to this verse because this was the conviction of the man Moses. He says, we will go 3 days journey. If we do not know what the scripture say, we would not have any convictions about anything. And if we know what the scripture say and still go against it, we now have become presumptuous and rebellious. If we know what the Bible say and still proceed to go against it, we are being presumptuous. Like the children of Israel, Moses tell them, do not go up in the mountain, for God is not with you. They went anyway. The Bible says the Amalekites come out and we chased them like bees. They went anyway. You know, God has given us parameters. It's very hard for a believer to live a life, a pattern of sin. First barrier they must break down is the word of God. The second barrier they'll have to break down is the word of God. You hear what I'm saying? The third barrier they have to break down is the people of God. And the moment you see these things begin to shatter, word of God, stop reading it, people of God, the moment these things begin to go, you already know where you're going. These are barriers that God has placed in our lives. Don't despise the word of God. Don't despise the people. And you will find that some people are very clever. They would avoid certain people who may tell them what the word of God said. And they may gravitate to other people who don't know the word of God. This is dangerous. I like to hang out with good men. I like to talk with. I told you who I was talking with yesterday in the parking lot. I like to surround myself with these guys. I want to hear from them. I want to hear their strengths and I want to hear their weaknesses. I want to hear. Tell me where I'm going wrong. But everybody is not like that. But you should be like that. Moses had a conviction. The three Hebrew men in Babylon were not ill-mannered when they spoke to the king. Since we are not careful to answer you, O King Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able to deliver us, and he will. But even if he doesn't deliver us, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not bow down to your image. Very polite. But you don't have to be obnoxious. Yes, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not doing it. I can't do it. I'm sorry. That's what a conviction is. Standing by a purpose. Sure. So today, this is our lesson. Simple but profound. You and I are given God's law, God's word in his kingdom, but concessions will be offered you through the world, as I was saying this morning, through the flesh, through the devil. You don't have to succumb. You should stand on the word of God. They will come, brethren. If there's any God-given spirituality in you, you will have to confront sin. You know, every day you will have to confront it. Not every day, but regularly you're going to have to confront it. Okay? But just be careful that you're not obnoxious and you're not confrontational. Do it as Moses did it. Not so. I wouldn't do it. And you face it every single day. I face it every day. And in this body, in this flesh, you make about the same stuff. You face it every day. And then Moses in verse 29 said, "Behold, I am going out from you. I'm leaving now. I will pray for you. I will entreat the Lord that the swarm of flies may depart from Pharaoh." And I like this. Pharaoh is a title. Moses addressed him by his title. You didn't call him you or hey. You know, he says, "I will depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." Moses stood his ground. Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord as he promised. Keep your promises. If you say you want to pray, pray. If you say you're coming to pray, come to pray. I will entreat for you. Don't promise to pray and don't pray. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarm of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And here we see the mercy of God on the ungodly because of the prayers of the people of God. And sometimes you and I can stay the wrath of God when we are in our places and we are called to pray. Some men can't even get up out of their pews to pray. Man of God will pray. You would see the urgency of judgment, not the swarm of flies, but what will befall mankind if they refuse to believe. Pharaoh said, "I'll pray for you," and he prayed. I didn't believe that Moses wanted to see Pharaoh in the bottom of the Red Sea, but that's what happened to him. He perished in the bottom of the Red Sea. In spite of Pharaoh's hardened heart, the Lord remained faithful. He answered the prayer of Moses. Pharaoh lived to see another day. Wow. Let's see next time, Brother Presley, if his heart changed. We'll see the next time. Let's go on in our study. Let's pray.